KPCW News Time now, 8:15. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. I'm in the studio now with an update on the Park City and Wasatch County real estate market. I have Todd Anderson, the president of the Park City Board of Realtors. Good morning.
Good morning.
So having a look at just the first quarter stats, what can you tell us about it? Prices going up.
Prices are going up, but they're not skyrocketing by any stretch. We're seeing, you know, a consistent climb up, which honestly, given the demand and the lack of inventory, you know, is actually a good sign, and that it's not, you know, showing really any indications that things are getting overheated or totally out of whack given the market.
So interesting, just the first quarter showing 75% of the sales happening outside of the Park City.
That's
limits?
You know, yeah, outside of the Park City limits, so outside of 84060, and that has, you know, pricing has a lot of impact on that. As you look and say, that's all of the Snyderville Basin, that's all of Wasatch County, so that's a pretty big area that you're saying it's not just in Park City, and that kind of shows the breadth of our Board of Realtors too.
Yeah, so where are you seeing a lot of interest in?
There's a lot of interest in new construction. There's, you know, some of these numbers that we put out that get a little skewed as far as the data due to pending sales of things that are being built. But there is, you know, a ton of new inventory coming in at the Canyons. There's a ton of new inventory coming in around the Jordanelle area. And a lot of those are, you know, really under contract before they're ever, you know, starting their work and as far as foundations and framing even.
Yeah. Any areas where prices have flattened or dropped?
Not really anything showing prices dropping anywhere. And I think as you look at those impacts of what's coming on in new construction and the costs of building going up, that's going to keep the, you know, older inventory, you know, seeing some rises. Although we do see some maybe speed differentials in the things that are really updated and looking new that, you know, sell faster.
Yeah. What you are seeing is just a decline in the number of condominium sales.
We definitely saw a decline in the number of condominium sales, but I do tend to attribute a lot of that to the pending sales of things that haven't finished yet. People possibly opting toward that new inventory that might not be here for 9 months to a year and waiting for that rather than buying what's on the market in these other spots.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else that you wanted to mention with regard to the first quarter?
No, fairly steady. Definitely saw a jump in the vacant lot sales. So buildable lot sales saw a pretty dramatic increase in the first quarter. And that's, you know, maybe, again, people looking toward that new construction and saying, I want something new rather than something that's 10 or 20 years old.
All right. Well, let's see. You and I think a handful of others recently attended a conference in Washington, D.C. What was that about?
So that's our annual mid-year legislative conferences for the National Association of Realtors. And it gives there are about 9,000 realtors there from around the country. So it's a big push politically to really come out and talk to our legislators and say, here are the things that we look at on a national basis that need some help. So,
and what were those issues?
You know, our big talking points are first had to do with tax policy and looking at, you know, what's happened with the state and local tax limitations that were put out there. And we kind of understand, okay, these limitations are here, but maybe they can be tweaked a little as we look at them and say, you know, we have effectively a marriage tax involved in it because you're getting one write-off that says you get $10,000. That's single or married. You know, maybe that should be falling into that category that, hey, it's one for each, you know, person in there, not, you know. So that was one idea. You know, the Association of Realtors also believes that it should be indexed. You know, if 5 years down the road these numbers haven't increased, we're effectively even, you know, making that cap at a lower number. So we talked about things in that. We talked about net neutrality. and trying to get our legislators behind that. It definitely has an impact on realtors. And, you know, if you were to look at things on a real broad range and say, you know, let's say Amazon comes into the market and looks at it and decides to throttle down the individual agents or the small cities. So there are impacts that can happen, you know, to the board, to the realtors out there, as well as the consumers. If net neutrality kind of doesn't force things in,
How does explain that a little bit better for me? I mean, how that would impact a realtor?
So on a realtor's end, that, you know, we're looking for that even playing field, and as you look at large companies out there, would have that ability to, you know, they're paying more in advertising, and they're able to outweigh what's happening on the smaller end. So you know, we're a lot of independent contractors out there, and as we look and say, If the big Wall Street money can come in and say, yeah, we're going to slow these guys down and send it our way. So it has that. But we feel that, you know, by the same token, that can affect the consumer. And that's really the association looks to say, can we help the consumer out there? And we feel that this could negatively affect the consumer.
All right. What any other issues that you...
We talked about fair housing, just some changes being made out there as we look toward the, you know, look at the 50th anniversary and a few things, a few tweaks as we make some additions on our end that we'd like to see the government follow up on, but nothing that are super huge changes in that respect. So, you know, good feelings out there and a lot of good talk and things changing on our national level and trying to talk with our legislators.
Yeah. So are the realtors unified, though? I mean, is it one voice or are they hearing different things from different parts of the country?
You definitely get different things from different parts of the country. And while we will always look and say all real estate is local, things that happen on a local level can affect us nationwide. So a law that, you know, squeaks through someplace in Michigan can start a domino effect in other places. And so on a national level, we look at real estate and say, you know, something that's happening over here can have an effect on us down the road. And so that's where the National Association stands behind things to do that.
All right. Last week, a bunch of realtors attending the Wasatchback Economic Summit. What did you guys get out of it?
I was on one of the speaker panels in there, so I felt that it was a great look into, you know, exposing people a little more to some of these things that are out there. It seems like we get behind things and say, all of a sudden, there's a lot of building being done. And if you really look at it, I think we were able to look and say, you know, many of these things started 20, 30 years ago. I mean, we see it here with the idea of Treasure. You know, but we see it all through the Wasatch County, too, especially as we expand around the Jordanelle area. And these are, you know, projects that have been on the books for many years. And it just the time has finally come where it's making more sense to them. And that's where people kind of start to see it and say, wow, where'd this come from? All of a sudden we can look and say, no, it's been coming for a long time. So but I think it was interesting. I think there were some great looks at things in terms of the overall views of the state. I think we got some great information that says it's not a, you know, it's all of us growing. It's not as localized as we tend to think as we look around our area. If we went anywhere else in the state, we'd see very similar things. And that's true throughout a lot of the country and really due to the lack of building that's been going on for quite some time since the economic downturn. And we're starting to play catch up.
Let's see. Also, last month, Realtors holding their annual awards night. Can you give us the rundown of those winners?
I can. And this is, you know, our annual party to look at those within our association who are doing great things for the association, for the city, and for the community at large. So a quick touch on things. We recognize our new agents that are doing great things. We recognize agents that, you know, have continually put out through their professional achievement awards and sustaining master's awards. Those get some big numbers and people that have been doing things for a lot of years. too many names to run through on that. We do look at and have an award for meritorious service to the Board of Realtors and to the community. Those winners were Gina Luke, Patty Horrier, and Nancy Tallman. We have a Director's Award that we give every year that comes, you know, as choice from the Association's Board of Directors. The winner on that was Mark Jacobson. And our Realtor of the Year was Sarah Werbelow, who's our past president and also president of the chamber and does a lot of great things within the city. And we, you know, love what the realtors do for the community out there.
What about Rookie of the Year? Get that person too, yeah?
No, I didn't remember a Rookie of the Year. Mm. We had done some things with that, and we kind of kept that more toward a larger, here's our new members along the way, and there were six or seven along the way that really, you know, had some standouts. So, and like I said, we tend to push it a little more on a broader community involvement than just jumping in and catching a bunch of sales. It's not about that. It's about everything else going on in the community.
Okay. I guess just one mention that you've got one more in your speaker series lined up talking about workforce housing June 15th.
Great follow-up. We had, you know, a huge, you know, there's a lot we're talking about with that right now and a lot that have been coming online as well as quite a few things to come. So it'll be a great conversation, and that's a open to the public piece that should be fantastic information.
Okay, Todd, anything else you want to mention?
I think that'll do it for now.
Okay. Todd Anderson, president of the Park City Board of Realtors, thanks for your time. Joining me now in the studio, I have Park City Sustainability Project Manager Celia Peterson. Good morning to you, Celia.
Good morning, Leslie.
So you finished another What Smart Communities workshop. Maybe you can just start by saying, what is this?
Sure. So Rocky Mountain Power has contracted with the Brendel Group, which is an environmental consultancy, to work with communities to essentially develop a energy action plan. So we are working, they're working with Moab, Salt Lake City, Summit County. We are the second community, I believe, to sign on to the project. And essentially, it's a facilitated workshop to develop an action plan for our 100% renewables goal for 2032, really focusing on energy efficiency in buildings. As you know, Park City has the nation or North America's most ambitious climate goals. So by 2022, we'll be running on 100% renewable electricity and net zero carbon, and we'll have the same goal by 2032 for the whole community. So the 2022 goal is chugging along just fine. Luke had an update in a communications report last week that we're on track to meet our 2022 goal. 2032, we're on track, but it's a lot more challenging because it's not so much under the municipality's direct control. So the What Smart Communities program is something where we can engage stakeholders to really discuss different strategies and formulate a plan to come up with to really focus on energy efficiency in buildings.
So those are just kind of officials as opposed to residents, these meetings?
What we decided to do is have two focus groups. So one is commercial and then one's residential. So with commercial, we invited large users such as the resorts, the school district. There were representatives from Intermountain Healthcare there, the lodging industry, and then also residential. So we're focusing on year-round residents, workforce housing, and also second homes. That's really the probably going to be the toughest nut for us to crack for the 2032 goal. So we're trying to get people there, such as property managers, HOA contacts, right.
So this was the second of three workshops?
Correct.
And then after the third one, then what are you going to have?
Then we will have a plan to about a two-year action plan, what we should focus on in order to make significant progress towards our 2032 goal.
Yeah. But I mean, when you even just think of 4 years away, the goal of the city being run, you know, with all alternative energy and zero carbon emissions. Don't we have to have some kind of wind farm or solar farm built by then to make that happen?
Absolutely. So we have an EPSA agreement with Rocky Mountain Power, which is an engineering procurement services agreement, I think if I remember the acronym correctly. And that's what the update was last week, that we're on track. So that's really focusing on the future needs. So doing some forecasting. Luke and I worked really hard to get those numbers together. Then also looking at the type and location of renewables and really looking at focusing on regulatory approvals that are needed in order to build those renewables, bring them on to supply Park City Municipal.
So who's paying to build those, Rocky Mountain, or does the city take a
pay for part of that? As far as I understand, it's a combination.
Right. Yep. So we would help actually construct it? Do we even know where these are going to be?
We will by May next year.
Okay. So what are the outcomes so far at this point?
Of the WattSmart Communities program? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a great meeting on Friday. What we decided to focus on at our first meeting in terms of goals is not necessarily a 10% reduction within the next 2 years or anything like that, but really focus on participation and getting as many different focus groups engaged in the whole process. And we realized during the meeting last Friday that education and awareness is still something that we need to put a lot of effort into, the different incentive programs that are available for both commercial and residential customers. And then also there were a lot of ideas that were proposed. Really, I was pretty excited about the outcome. One that I really thought was great was to start forming some cohorts of best practices. So people within the Lodging Association, there's a lot of good work going on around, but not as much sharing as there could be. So that's something that I think will be pretty fun and useful for people. And then we also, for the third workshop, there's still time to be included if you would like to be. We really would like to get some property managers and HOA contacts there. There are a lot of incentive programs that are available. People just don't know about them. For example, one thing that the city is just about to sign on is a CPACE program that's basically really, really low-cost financing for commercial buildings to do energy efficiency upgrades. Later this summer with Rocky Mountain Power, we'll be doing a direct install of lighting. So basically, Rocky Mountain Power will come in, look at your lighting, and do the swap for you for very low cost with a really quick return on investment. We talked about the idea of ramping up a green business program that has some metrics involved so we can start tracking what progress is being made within different businesses and business groups. We had a great turnout on Friday. We're really happy to have several property managers, people from the school district, both resorts. Someone was there from the Montage, All Seasons Resort Group was there. Representatives from Dominion, that's another very important power. They offer a lot of great programs to help with home weatherization and essentially rebates for doing some energy efficiency upgrades. There was a representative from the Chamber of Commerce and also some of our friends, friendly nonprofits. So Recycle Utah was represented, SCPW, and also someone from Utah Clean Energy came up.
So how do people join in if they're interested?
You could get in touch with me, celia.peterson@parkcity.org, or you can just email energy@parkcity.org. It's easier to remember.
Okay.
Yep, next workshop will likely be, the date's not set, but it'll probably be later in June.
Okay. And you usually meet like on a Friday afternoon or something? Depends.
The first one I believe was on a Thursday morning, and last one was on a Friday morning. So
okay.
Morning seems to work better for people, it seems like.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
Yes. It's tree planting season. So we've got a couple of tree plantings scheduled. On the 29th next week, we'll be starting at 3 o'clock at Richards Ranch, and then another one at 5 o'clock just across the road at McLeod Trailhead is where we'll meet. And then on June 2nd, we'll have another one in Round Valley. This year we'll be using these cocoons that they help the survivability of the trees. It's like a water reservoir, and we plant them with mycorrhizae, which helps the soil biota and helps the roots absorb nutrients better. So we're excited to see how these work. It'll make it a lot easier to keep them watered and kind of keep the weeds out so they have a chance to grow better.
Yeah, because I've heard that you've replaced like the trees down Holiday Ranch Loop Road. Mm-hmm. At least a couple of times.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we're planting the wrong trees, or?
The first one that happened years ago that was highly visible, what we found was talking to a forester that's up at USU, those trees were probably dead before they went in the ground. And we did one last autumn, and they just didn't take. They were pretty cheap seedlings, actually, and we just needed to get them in the ground. But the ones that we did over in Round Valley are just thriving. They look great. So we're just trying to figure out what works so we can get as many trees in the ground and growing just to help towards our net zero carbon goal.
So planting a tree reduces, how does that reduce your carbon output?
Well, trees use photosynthesis to fix carbon, so it's basically locking that carbon away from the atmosphere for as long as the tree is alive and growing. And also, the way that we're planting them with biochar and mycorrhizae, it helps to drive more carbon into the soil itself. So we're working, we've developed a carbon sequestration tool so we can quantify how much carbon's already locked away in our open spaces and trees. And we're working with USU and some other partners to really develop that so we can see what our progress on that is. Well, just basically using remote sensing and GIS, we'll be able to quantify that even better and track it over time.
Yeah, and I guess I just think that's strange that we're going to count trees instead of like actually reducing carbon.
Oh, we're doing both. We're mm-hmm. doing both. It's just that we have to focus on reducing the emissions that we put out, but then also increasing the amount of carbon that we can capture. So we're looking at it from both sides.
Okay, Celia, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Leslie. Have a good day.
It's Celia Peterson, Park City Sustainability Project Manager. It's the local news hour on KPCW. News time now, 8 in the studio with details. I have Terry Orr, the Executive Director of the Park City Institute. Good morning to you, Terry.
Good morning, Leslie.
So I'm thinking that the easy part may be done. Just getting it approved. Now you
so
got to
right.
make it happen.
We thought it was the hard part, you know, getting to this point. But yes, doing 9 pop-up concerts is clearly something we've never done before. And it's going to be a lot of challenges. But it's been so heartwarming. It kind of harkens back to years ago when people wanted to pull together. We've had amazing phone calls from folks who have said, let me help with this piece, and I know a little bit about that piece. And so it's really fun to see folks come together like that.
Yeah, and it was a question I had asked one of the council folks. I mean, just we had these concerts already, so it's not like we're adding anything
That's
new.
Such an important point. We have a 14-year history of having summer concerts, so we knew how to do them in one location. We certainly know how to book them. We know how to show people a good time. The challenge will be in creating great venues. And Jenny Dearson and Jonathan Wiedenheimer and, you know, the whole city staff, but Dave Gustafson, so many great folks have been out there with us looking at the space and already trying to brainstorm a concert venue.
Yeah, but I guess just to get to Council Member Becca Gerber's point that she feels like we're just spread too thin. So, I mean, the effort could be up at Deer Valley, or it could be at City Park, or it could be at Quinn's Junction. It's not like there's any less people.
It's different. It's admittedly different because we were at an existing venue that had an existing pattern and traffic patterns and a certain number of nights that were already expected there. So by moving them, we are... Everyone will be incurring some different impacts in different places. I think I wanted to clarify, and I hope I'm representing Becca fairly. She really was voting no because of the first two concerts. Her concerns had to do with specific impacts on the 3rd and the 13th, because those, the 3rd, of course, being the holiday with lots of other things going on, and the 13th being at City Park and how that will feel to those residents. The rest of the concert she was fine with. And I respect that vote and that opinion.
Sure.
We too don't want to impact people any more than need be.
Right. And then that it had to go to City Park because there was just, you couldn't do it on
because
the 13th?
Because of the Triple Crown, I believe, is there. Mm-hmm. And so those, all those fields are being used, whereas at City Park, they're able to mitigate those two fields, which, again, people have said, how are you going to fit everyone into the amphitheater? And that site isn't being used. We're using the ball fields where the women's rally was this winter.
All right. And then in terms of seating, it's going to be a basically flat there. I mean, on the rugby
both,
field.
Both places will be flat. Yeah. And we'll still have our reserve seats and our donor seats. That will be the same. The difference is that the stage will be elevated. So in the past, you were on the slope side and you were looking down at the stage. In this case, you'll be flat and the stage will be elevated.
Okay. So what's the most challenging part ahead of you here in terms of making this?
Probably what I don't know yet, you know. we're certainly talking about transportation because there is no bus system, which I didn't realize, that goes out to the hospital or the clinic or the NAC or any of those places. So we have to help with a transportation plan because there is no parking out there for these concerts.
Those have been finalized, those transportation plans, then?
The idea of the transportation plans have been finalized. We've certainly spoken with Les Bus and with the Four Seasons and Sam Rubin's company. And so we're in the process of figuring out. But probably folks will be parking at Eccles Center and Richardson Flat and somehow then being transported to the venue.
All right. What about with your VIP people? Will they be able to park on site?
There'll be limited parking, mm-hmm. and of course there'll be handicap parking and those sorts of things. But for the public, no, there's just not.
Okay.
But yes, food and beverage, you know, it's offering some new opportunities that we were never involved in that business before. And we certainly will be this year because folks get to the concert and not everyone brings a picnic and wants to be able to have a beverage and something to eat. So we're talking to people in town that because that was closed to food vendors and beer vendors and all that sort of thing before, this is an opportunity for us to do something different.
Yeah. And so where are you going to be at Quinn's? Are you going to be there on the artificial turf, or are you going to be out on the grass?
The artificial turf is the plan at the moment for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is staging and power and things that most people really don't care about. But that's the first plan. The second plan is the field adjacent to it.
All right. But not there is kind of an amphitheater there where there's some concrete.
There is, but there's no real power there, and there's no place to set the stage up, and it's kind of marshy where we would want to do it, and we don't want to impact the sprinklers and all the things that are underneath it. So it's kind of a hydra-headed monster to make it work.
Yeah. And then in terms of the noise, I mean, not a whole lot going out there at Quinn's Junction, but here in town at City Park. I mean, we have live music there all the time. I guess it's just
and we have
the
sporting
same
events there all the time. And the city ordinance is 10 o'clock. That doesn't change. So all amplified music has to be done at 10 o'clock, and that's what will happen there as well.
All right. Any accommodations then for the residents that are kind of backed up right there?
We're trying to figure all that out right now. We certainly understand that this is another impact on them.
Sure. And you had said that this series had to happen because it's half of your annual budget. But I guess, you know, when you think about all of the money you're putting out to make it happen, the transportation and just the all of it, I mean, are you going to make any money?
We are hoping so, and breaking even is, you know, where we're headed, we hope, as well. We paid a lot of money to Deer Valley to be at that venue, so that was a business arrangement. It wasn't a nonprofit donation by any means. So we paid them for the site to be there. We paid for our own sound and lights up there. We paid for our own security, our EMTs. We paid them a percentage of the gate. So this was a business proposition, and so some of those costs and those monies will be transferred to a new venue.
And then what about next year? I know you got to get through this year first, but I mean, as you think about it, I mean, it was like, oh, we just need a room for 1 year, but what's going to happen next year?
You know, we're talking about that internally as an organization. There are certainly some folks in the community who have said, we'd love to create a venue for you that have land and have the ability to do that. This so blindsided us in December. We just didn't have time to think about anything but survival. Now that we have a little bit longer lead time, we can start to think a little more strategically. I want to give a shout out to Vail Resorts, too, because they've stepped in as a sponsor, and it's great to have their support. That wasn't something that made logical sense when we were at a different resort. So we're looking forward to both having some of their volunteers, but also a cash donation.
And in terms of a new show added, the August 10th show, that was the 9th. It was a TBA. It was on the schedule,
correct?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, I can say now it was going to be a return of Mike Posner, which is the only show in 14 years we had to call because of lightning. And Mike was excited to come back. After he was very good friends with Avicii, and after Avicii's death a few weeks ago, he and his agency decided that he wouldn't tour at all this summer. So Corinne Bailey-Ray is with the same agent, and they said, you know, she doesn't come over a lot, I guess, anymore from Great Britain, but she's coming over this summer for the Hollywood Bowl and I don't remember what else. And we were able to add her. She's a rhythm and blues and a Grammy Award-winning artist and a whole lot of fun. So she fits the summer vibe just right.
Great. And I see, in terms of ticket sales, I mean, have you seen those kind of spike just as a result of the approval?
Yes. We really had flatlined. We announced our season, as we always do, with the sponsor party, and we had some great response then. And the people that initially wanted to support us did. For the rest of the ticket buyers, they wanted to know where the venue was, and I don't blame them, you know, where you're buying a ticket to. So on Friday, we had a big jump in ticket sales just immediately once the council approved this.
Okay. And people can just go online to do that?
They can go online. They can go to the Eccles Center as well and online to parkcityinstitute.org, and you can get tickets there. But you can also call 655-3114 and hopefully someone pleasant will answer the phone and take your order.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
No, just a whole lot of gratitude. You know, the city has been wrestling with this with us for months, and it's something, again, that was not on their plate either. And it's been a whole lot more work for a lot of people, police included. And we want to continue to be good partners and citizens in the community and not to have this be a burden, but to have it be a sense of great fun in the summer.
Okay, Terry, thanks.
Thanks, Leslie.
That's the executive director of the Park City Institute, Terry Orr. Joining me now in the studio from Basin Recreation, I have District Director Brian Hinton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So coming up this week, you guys have a community open house. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. We just want to focus on everything that we do, Basin. It's a free, we call it a customer appreciation day, where everything is free at the field house. Come try classes or come work out or just come check it out. And then we also want to highlight everything that we've done, are doing, and what we plan to do in the future by department. So we'll have a bunch of tables set up where people can come out and check out what we're doing in trails and parks, recreation, and our plans for facilities. So they have a chance just to come and provide input. We'll have a survey there. We want to hear what the community is looking for. It's been a while since we had a big community-wide survey, so we're hoping to get a little input that way and find out what are the new trends? What are we missing? What would they like to see, or what do they appreciate that we're currently doing? So hopefully everybody can get a chance to come out. From 5 to 7 is our main time, but we'll have tables set up all day. So people, if they can't come at 5 to 7, they can come provide their input, fill out the surveys. We'll have some drawings for some memberships and those types of things. So hopefully it's a fun day for everybody, and as many people in the community come out and give us a look.
Okay, that's Thursday, May 24th. We didn't mention the day yet. So tell me, what are you guys got going on with parks and trails?
With parks, we have a 100-acre parcel over at the Silver Creek Village area that we're still looking. This year we're hoping to plan it out and just kind of see what the community is looking for. Is it fields? Is it equestrian trails? Is it cyclocross trails? We just want to know what's out there. Pickleball, tennis. So we want the community to input on that. So that's probably our biggest parks aspect. With trails, we have a bunch of we're enhancing some current trails that we have. The bike park, we're adding a new trail right now. There's some other trails, the Toll Canyon Trail. We're excited to get that one in and hopefully alleviate some traffic in that Summit Park area, just as a transportation down. And then with some other enhancements of some trails that we've had for a while, our Road to Archelon, we're going to work on some of the features that are out there. Just they're well used, so we want to give them some love and hopefully enhance what's currently there and make them a little bit better.
I took a little criticism with regard to the Toll Canyon, but I'm guessing it's by folks that live right close to where it's going to be. But in terms of the concern with the mustard?
Yeah, the garlic
mustard. Garlic mustard, yeah, just being spread. I didn't realize that until you get it pulled out. I mean, it's very easy just to pick up the seeds on your sole of your foot or your bike tire and bring it somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one thing, even when you pull it out, it still seems to come back. So it's one, we're hoping this trail gives us better access because we have to maintain that area anyways. And we're hoping that we can get to those areas and treat those so the spread is minimal. With the construction of the trail, we're putting some probably a little stricter restrictions on the contractor with they can't wear their boots outside of the work area where the machines have to stay on site until they're completely done and then washed off or everything on site. So we're hoping that those are good measures. And then once that trail is complete, we'll be able to hopefully eradicate or at least minimize the spread of that weed.
Okay. You're offering swim lessons
at the
lap pool. Is that where you do them?
Yes, we are at the field house, our new pool we put in last year. So that opened today. So if you missed out on I know a lot of other facilities have swim lessons, but we do as well. So, I mean, it's a good opportunity to have the outdoor experience and get those kids in the water.
I haven't been in the pool. Is there a shallow end?
It's 4 feet. There's some shallower. I think 3 feet is right by the stairs. It goes 3 to 6 to 4 just throughout the lap area. So there's definitely some areas that the kids, taller adolescents can touch, but the parents are in there as well to help the little ones.
Okay. And then coming up, you've got on June 2nd, a couple of different events.
Yep, we have some work and some fun. With our National Trails Day on June 2nd, we're going to meet at the RTS Trailhead. That's up just below the UOP. And we're putting in some new trails up there. That's another location for some more trails. And would love to have as much of the community out there. 8:30, we're starting out, and they'll go to about noon. And then the other event we have is the Disc Golf Trilogy Challenge. So at our disc golf course, at Trailside Park, we'll have an event where $35 that'll give you 3 discs that you have to use for the event. And it's just a fun, this is our second or third year of the event. And it's good to highlight that facility. It's not highly used right now. So we're trying to increase traffic and using that disc golf course. But again, just a fun event. That's 8:30 till noon as well. So
people need to register for that?
Yes, they can go on our website at basinrecreation.org and they can find out more information if they want specifics. Oh, and with the National Trails Day, we'll actually feed you a little bit. So we try to entice you to come out.
Okay. And then finally, I wanted to mention about the trail connections happening at the Jeremy Ranch Pine Brook Interchange.
Yes, the county is going through a big restructure of that Jeremy Ranch Interchange. And working together with them in a lot of projects we do, we're trying to help create a safer crossing for the pedestrians. So they've reached out to us and want to do an underpass under there's a Kilby Road section right by the Quarry Village shopping center. So they would like to do an underground crossing there instead of an above ground. There's lots of pathways and that's going in there. So they reached out to us to see if we could help contribute to that, knowing that all of our trails are recreational and transportation. So they presented to our board, and our board will consider that, and hopefully moving forward we'll be able to complete that interchange as safe as possible.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention, Brian?
No, that should be it.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Brian Hanton, District Director of Basin Recreation. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. It's